thought a lot about what I was going to preach on today. And I've been thinking about it for several weeks. And thought, well, now what am I going to do for my first Sunday here? What do I want to preach on? And I decided that maybe the best thing to do was to try to do a sermon that included a little bit about who I am. After all, I'm sure that many of you out there have that burning question, who is this guy? How did he get here? What makes him tick? Well, I don't know if I'll answer all those questions, but I thought, well, that's a good place to start. So I thought about Jonah. Jonah and I have a lot in common. Now, I want to say up front that I have not spent any time in the belly of a whale. That the thought of that kind of grosses me out. But Jonah and I are alike in the sense that we both ran from our call. If we remember in the scripture that we read earlier, Jonah was a Christian, a devout Christian. He worshiped God and was probably a good churchgoer, you know, tried to do all the right things and had been in ministry in other places. And now God was calling Jonah to go to Nineveh. And Jonah was scared. And he had a right to be. You see, the people in Nineveh had a really bad reputation. It was said that if you went to Nineveh and spoke of something that they didn't agree with or didn't like, they'd either kick you out on your can out of town or string you up on a pole. And so he was real nervous about going and witnessing against their sinful nature. He felt that that probably would be grounds for them to string him up or worse. So he was afraid. So instead of following God's call, he got on a boat, set out to Tarsus. He figured Tarsus was the opposite end, as far away as you could get from Nineveh. So he figured, well, if I go to Tarsus, I'll be far enough away that either one, God won't find me, or two, I'll be so far away that he'll figure, well, somebody else is closer, I'll call him instead. As we know, God doesn't work that way. Jonah did try to run. He was on that ship, but God created a storm in his life to get his attention. And after the sailors threw him overboard and he spent 3 days in the whale, he finally said, okay, Lord, I get the picture. I can't go far enough or fast enough. I don't know how you want me to do this or how I'm going to get away with it without being killed, but I'll go to Nineveh. And of course, as the story goes on, we see where as soon as that happened, God had the whale throw him up on the beach. Now, you know, before I go on there, that every time I read that, and think about that, it just blows my mind. I don't know how many of you fish or like to fish, but can you imagine being out on the surf, out here on the Gulf somewhere, pretty day out fishing, and all of a sudden this big old fish or whale comes up and goes, bleh! And this guy comes rolling out, you know? I mean, that in itself was a shock, but then he probably comes up to some poor fisherman and says, can you tell me the way to Nineveh? What's the main road to town? I mean, I wouldn't want to get close to the guy. He probably stinks. You know, but anyways, this is what happened. And he goes on to Nineveh, and he does what God asked him to do. And to his surprise, he's actually well received. They think, hey, this guy, he's right. We've been sinful. We've been doing all these things, you know. And so they repent, and they wear sackcloth and tar and all those things. And that's kind of my point. When I think of his story, I think of my own story because I ran as well. God first called me to pastoral ministry when I was a teenager in a youth group in my home church. And a couple people said, you know, what are you thinking about doing with your life when you graduate from high school? And I said, oh, I'm going to go work and I'm going to play and I'm going to do all these things, you know. And they said, well, why don't you go to school, get a degree? Have you thought about ministry? I said, oh, no. That's not for me. College is not for me. I'm not the college type, you know. And so I went on and I ran and I did my own thing. I got on that boat to Tarsus. In my early 20s, God called me again. I had kind of gotten away from church and all those kinds of things. And
God called me back to church, and then he said, you need to get involved in something. So I said, ministry. He wants me to go into ministry. Well, what can I do that will make him happy and get him off my back? I thought, well, maybe I can volunteer with the youth group. Yeah, that's it. I know I can do that. I was a youth myself. You know, I can do that. So I went and I asked the Christian education director at the time, and she said, yes, we need some help. That would be wonderful. So I volunteered with another couple with the junior high, and I did that for several years and enjoyed it, and I thought, this is great, you know. But it didn't satisfy God's call. A few years later, I went from there and I became the youth director of the church. I thought, okay, now I'm in ministry, God's going to leave me alone, you know. Now I'm in ministry. But what I really was doing was what? I was still on the boat to Tarsus. You know, I was trying to please him with other things. So I said, okay. So I did that for several years and enjoyed it. And again, God's calling me, banging on my shoulder. Stephen, this is not what I have for you. This is nice, but this isn't what I'm calling you to do for the rest of your life. And so I said, okay, what can I do to get God off my back? What can I do? What does he want me to do? And I thought, okay, he wants me to work with kids full time. That's what it is. That's got to be what it is, because I'm good at it and I like it. So I got a job working at the Methodist Children's Home. Excellent job. Enjoyed that. Worked there for 5 years. The whole time I was there, I had this underlying feeling of, I love this job, I want to be here the rest of my life, but yet I don't. Why? God was calling me. Because I was still on the ship. I was still on that way to Tarsus. And now I'd gone really far. I was down at the children's home hiding from them. And I had some folks there approach me after being there a couple of years and getting to know everybody pretty good. They said, you should go on to college. You ought to get a degree. You ought to go into ministry. And I said, college isn't for me. I was on the CD honor roll in high school. What are you talking about, college? I don't have that kind of ability, you know? And I had used that excuse several times, and I guess God was getting tired of hearing it. I'm not sure. But lo and behold, the next thing I know, I meet my wife. Now, I didn't know she was going to be my wife. She knew. God knew. I think they had something planned. You know, I was just, you know, victim of circumstance. Anyways, that's another story. But so I got married, and God says, okay, you can't use the education excuse because your wife's a teacher. She can help you. You know, if you're falling short in some areas, she can tutor you. And I thought, oh, great. There goes that excuse. So I'm still running. And I said, okay, well, God, I can't go into ministry now. I got a family, you know. And we met our daughter there at the children's home and adopted her and brought her home. And I said, Lord, I've got all these responsibilities, you know. I can't go into ministry. I can't do something like that. I can't go back to school. I don't have the time. I don't have the money. So God took it all away. Sent me back home to my home church and into the family business to help out while my father had some health conditions to take care of. Got through that. And some people in my local church again said, why don't you go and get a degree? And I said, well, I don't know. You know, it's just not my thing. I don't know. Why don't you go into ministry? Well, I don't know. So God put a storm in my life. He got my attention. He sent me to Promise Keepers. I went. And he made me realize that God and the church, that he and the church need to be the number one thing in my life. And I said, okay. But all right, God, I'm going to get with it now. So I became the super parishioner. Okay. I was a guy that was always at the church, always there helping out whenever something was going on. I was even there when things weren't going on, you know, just in case. And so I was a super parishioner. And one night we were having a revival at church. And I was talking to the pastor. He and I were, it was actually early, and we were setting up chairs in preparation for it. And I guess God was working on me that whole time and trying to get me to take the plunge. And so I asked the pastor, I said, now hypothetically, let's say I have a friend that's interested in ministry. How does one become a pastor of, you know, a United Methodist Church? And he just looked at me and smiled, and he says, come to my office tomorrow morning. Okay. I'll come to your office tomorrow morning. Well, he knew I wasn't speaking hypothetically. He was smarter than that. And so I went and saw him, and we talked for a couple hours. And from that point on, I started into ministry. I started the process. And it was at that point that I guess you could say it was my coming onto the beach. When I finally got off the ship going to Tarsus and got in direction headed towards Nineveh. And it was such a relief. You know, I wasn't fighting God on what he wanted me to do. I wasn't running from what he wanted me to do. And I guess my point in the sermon is for each of you is that we've all had a time in our lives when we've had a Jonah syndrome. When maybe we felt God calling us to do something, a ministry or a particular job, or to hold a particular position in the church or whatever, something that is out of our comfort zone. You know, that's the whole thing with Jonah. He was being asked to do something out of his comfort zone. And when God was calling me into pastoral ministry, he was taking me out of my comfort zone. Because I was real comfortable being a behind-the-scenes guy, you know, operating the sound system and doing all those things. And all those things are important jobs. But if somebody had told me 10 years ago that I'd be up in front of people preaching and public speaking, I'd say, no way. That's not me. You're crazy, you know. And so we've all had those times, I think, when God has called us to do something and we go, oh, no, God, I can't do that. That's not me. No, I can't do that. But I'll go over here, Lord, and I'm going to do this ministry over here, you know, because this will make you happy, and I know how to do this, and I feel comfortable with this, you know. This is within me, you know. But the whole time we're doing this, God is saying, well, that's nice, and that's fine, but this is what I want you to do over here. And that's what I struggle with, and I struggled with it for 10 years, like 10 or more years, really, because I'm in my late 30s now. So it was over 10 years I fought with God on that. He said, no, this isn't for me. I can't do that. That's not me. That's out of my zone. You know, you got the wrong guy. I'm going to do this over here. We all struggle with that, I think, at one time or another. Maybe there's some of you that are struggling with that today. God's been putting something on your heart or tapping on your shoulder and saying, hey, I really want you to do this. I really want you to take on this ministry or this job or get involved over here and be a part of this. And you're saying, oh, geez, I don't know. That I've never done anything like that before. That's, you know, or I don't know if I want to get involved there or not. You know, that's kind of scary. And I would say to you today to make this day a changing point. Stop running. Get off the ship to Tarsus and start heading towards your Nineveh, wherever that might be. Boy, I put him to sleep already. Good gracious. What a way to start. That's true. But get off the boat to Tarsus and get on the way to Nineveh, because I'm going to tell you from personal experience, when you quit fighting God, when you quit trying to run the other direction and you just say, okay, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to do it. I don't see how it's going to happen, but I'm yours. Show me the way. When you do that, the blessings start to flow. My family and I have been blessed unbelievably. The opportunities that I've had to share with people and to preach and to be in one fine church and now in another church, it's just exciting. Just exciting. Many years ago when my wife and I were first married, we had passed through the Tallahassee area. And we both said, wouldn't it be interesting to live in Tallahassee one day? It's such a pretty area. Such a nice area. And then our district superintendent comes to us this past January and says, well, we have a church for you. And I said, well, where is it? And I was thinking, please, not Miami. I can't go there, you know. And I said, oh boy, I've done it now. I've said I can't go. That's where I'm going to end up, right? And my wife says, well, you know, it'd be nice if we could go to the Tallahassee area. We really like that area up there. And so he calls us back and he says, well, we got a church. And he says, it happens to be in the Tallahassee area. We said, wow, another blessing. Another blessing. You know, and so that's what it's all about. If you let go and just let God take you wherever he wants to take you, not let your fear override your faith, the journey is exciting. It's a lot of fun. And God will give you what you need to do it. You see, that's part of what Paul's problem was and part of what my problem was in the beginning, is we didn't see where we had the gifts or the graces to do the things that God was calling us to do. I had never spoken public before. Shuddered at the thought of it. I had no training as a pastor. And I said, God, what, how can we do this? You know? But when I finally just let him take charge and take me by the hand and show me how to do it, he has given me things that I didn't know I had. I didn't have. He gave it to me. And I guess that's the point, is when God's asking us to do something scary or out of our comfort zone, we just need to trust in him and not let our fear override our faith. And just go for it. Because he has, and he will not fail. We may be afraid that we'll fail, but God won't fail. God will carry us there. So I guess I would say today to you, quit running if you're running. Get off the boat to Tarsus and get on the way to Nineveh. And if you're already there, then you know what I'm talking about. If you've already gotten off that boat, then you know the blessings that will come your way. And the excitement in the journey. Quit running. Do like I did, like Jonah did. Take the challenge and go for it. Will you pray with me? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunities that you put our way. Lord, sometimes we're scared and our fear overcomes us and we're afraid to step out on faith and do the things that you've called us to do. Lord, we just ask you to give us extra strength and to stand right beside us and remind us that you're there with us every step of the way. Lord, help us to get off the boat of Tarsus and to head towards our Nineveh, the Nineveh that you've picked out for us. Lord, help us to take on the ministries and the things that you've called us to do and to go for it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.